The disciples are some of my favorite characters in the Bible. You guys like the disciples? Should, right? Not only because they're the disciples, the followers of Jesus, but because I think they're a lot like you and me. Think about it. At times they get really confused, right? They don't always understand what Jesus is doing or why he says some of the things he does. They don't always get it. At times they doubted. Like in this gospel, the last line says, their hearts were hardened. What it means is they didn't understand, they didn't quite believe. They saw Jesus walk on water, they saw him multiply loaves and fish, but they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't get it. Sometimes they had bad tempers. Remember when St. Peter cut off the ear of the soldier when Jesus was being arrested? We know that St. Peter got mad and denied Jesus three times. Remember that story before crucifixion? So they had all those same human emotions that we do. And sometimes they didn't always handle them right. So that's part of the reason the disciples are some of my favorite people. Now, on the flip side of that, they have moments of great faith. They have moments where they're the examples of how we're supposed to live in the best way possible. After all, St. Peter was the one who the church was founded on, right? I give you the keys to the kingdom. He said Jesus was the Son of God. He was the first one to say that. And they followed him for 3 years, even when they didn't quite understand. They didn't leave him. They stuck by his side for those 3 years. And now we come to one of the more popular stories in the gospel, walking on water. Now, has anyone here ever walked on water? This is a trick question. It is. Adults can answer too. Has anyone walked on water? Okay. When did you walk on water? Ice fishing, exactly. You can walk on water when you're ice fishing. Even though it's ice, it's still water, right? So if you've ever been ice fishing, you can say you've walked on water. Not quite like Jesus, but close enough, right? But Jesus performs this miracle, but notice what's going on. They set out on the boat, and they get tossed about. The wind is against them. How many times in life do we feel like the wind is against us, right? Maybe the calendar lines up where you have more homework than usual, and you feel like you're overwhelmed and you won't be able to get through it. Sometimes tragedies happen. You know, we experience death, or maybe someone moves away, something bad happens, we get sick. Those are all examples of when the wind is against us, right? And we can be like the disciples then and kind of be afraid and not take courage. Because Jesus came to them. He walked on the water, came right up to them. And what was their reaction? They were afraid. It seems kind of strange, right, to be afraid of Jesus? But put yourself in their shoes. If you see some guy in the middle of the night walking on water, you'd be kind of scared too, hey? Kind of a natural reaction. So there's times where Jesus comes to us in our lives, but we don't always recognize him. Because of our fears, because of our worries and anxieties, which is natural, because we're human. But sometimes those things blind us from Jesus when he comes to us. But you know what the important part of this story is? Jesus got in the boat and everything calmed down. When we allow Jesus to get into our boat, to get into our heart, everything calms down. It doesn't necessarily mean things are going to be fixed magically. You know, maybe it's going to take a while for someone to get better, to get healed. You know, sometimes situations don't always, it's not like magic in that sense, right? But we're still given this peace. There's this calmness, and there's this courage. Jesus said, take courage and be not afraid. That's what we receive when we allow Jesus to enter into our boats. Now, that's a nice phrase, right? Enter into our boats. So what, do we take our boats in the backyard and say, Jesus, come on in and sit in my boat? No. It's a metaphor, but how do we do that then? The first way is to pray. I've talked to you guys a lot about prayer. And sometimes I know it becomes a cliche where we say we pray for people. But I keep telling you guys because it's really, really important and it means a lot. Because what have I told you before? When we pray, what happens? We become closer to Jesus, right? Our relationship with him grows like it does with your best friend. And so when tough things happen, when that wind is against us, when we feel like we're sinking and the boat's rocking, if we're praying, then we have Jesus there to help us. Because Jesus didn't leave them out there to sink. He didn't say, figure it out yourselves. He didn't say, good luck, I hope to see you on the other side. No, he stopped and he got in the boat and he helped them. He saved them. Why? Because God's love is so radical and so powerful that he will always save us. We heard in the first reading that God is love and we're called to love. There's a connection there. There's a reason these readings go together. And in the gospel, Jesus went up the mountain to pray. It's an example to us. The first way to let Jesus into our boat is to pray. How else do you think we can let Jesus in? Now, you know what I mean when I say into our boat, like into our lives? What's another way that we can let Jesus into our lives? Helping others. Yes, when we do good works and we become Jesus to others, we become closer to him. Say that again. Yeah, help someone who's hurt. So like the disciples were in trouble and Jesus helped them. We can do the same thing. Yeah. Going to Mass. That's the one I was thinking of. Good job. Those are all good answers. But going to Mass. When we come here and we literally see Jesus present on the altar and we receive him in that grace, we hear his word. You know, sometimes we say that, oh, God doesn't talk to me. I don't hear God. You ever hear people say that sometimes? Maybe you've thought it too. But think about it. With the readings, that's God's living word. We do hear him. God literally speaks to us every time we come to Mass when we listen to those readings. And so what is Jesus saying to us this morning here at Mass? He's reminding us to pray. He's reminding us that, yes, sometimes our life is going to be rocky. But most important, what he's telling us is he will do anything to help us and to save us. We are never left in the middle of the sea to sink. He always comes to us because of his radical love for us. That's part of what we celebrated at Christmas. The reason God took on human flesh and was born was to love us and be close to us. The reason Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the dead is because he loved us and wanted to save us. And so if you're in a spot now where maybe, oh, and this is the other thing I was going to say, I almost forgot. That's why I have notes, so I don't forget things. We can use the saints to help us, right? So think of the disciples. If you feel like you're sinking for some reason, if you feel like life just isn't quite the way it should be, if you feel like the wind's a little bit against you, talk to the disciples, St. Peter, St. Andrew, St. James. Talk to them and say, help me. Ask them to intercede for you. That's the beauty of the saints. They're there to help us get closer to Jesus. They're there to call on Jesus to be with us. And so ask them for help. And if life is really, really good right now, which I hope it is for all of us, then pray for the people, even if you don't know them, who might be struggling. Say a prayer to St. Peter. Talk to Jesus. And ask them to be present to the people in the world who aren't doing so good today. And make a prayer for them. But above all, when you leave here this morning, the one takeaway I want you guys to have I want you to think about when you pray on your own is how much Jesus loves us and how he will do anything, even walking on water, performing any miracle, to be with us, to save us from the stormy waters, and to love us.